from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
After 3 straight wins, the Bears have the swagger of a team that walks tall. Maybe that's because they walk together. Or maybe it's the confidence of having a quarterback who can rewrite the story.
It's always a constant battle. We're going to get a lot better. We're going to keep growing. And we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. We're here to win games for Chicago Bears.
The emotional conclusion of episode 3 of Hard Knocks on HBO.
That was good.
It is The Score's afternoon show with me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Gabe Ramirez. And we are pleased to be joined right now on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. One of the writers of Hard Knocks. I think I have to credit you, Adam Hogue, as a writer on that TV show. Because,
really?
I mean, well, who was it? Polls on the show last night said, you know, they compare Tori Teller to his Scottie Scheffler. And your pinned tweet is the comp for Tori Teller is Scottie Scheffler. So I got to think, was it polls? I forget who said it, but whoever it was,
yeah,
they clearly got it from you in conversation. Am I wrong?
Yeah, we'll have to work. Yeah, we'll have to work on the GM with proper crediting there. But yeah, that's been. I mean, it's half joke, but also actually serious, because if you watch Tory Taylor at Iowa last year, he literally can spin the football like a golf ball on the green, like Scottie Scheffler does. So, yeah, I think it's an actual good comp for him.
Do you really believe you? It sounds like you do. Gabe and I were talking about this earlier. Do you really believe that this man has reinvented something that football players have been doing for 60 years?
Not necessarily reinvented, but I do think that he, you know, we are talking about a guy that was playing a different style of football in Australia. And this is actually, I know people aren't really going through the weeds of like punting trends in the NFL, but he's not the only former Australian rules punter entering the league in the last few years. I know the Steelers have one now too. I was actually watching that game on Saturday night, you know, because we had the whole Justin Fields, Russell Wilson thing going on. And
yeah,
those guys on the Steelers broadcast were like, look at this guy. And honestly, I can't tell you his name right now, but they were like, this is Australian rules football, dude. And so I'm like, all right, there's another one. There is something different about the spin on the ball. And we see it in practice every day, guys. He actually will just stand there like at about the 45-yard line and just put these things right in the corner of the field over and over again.
Unbelievable.
And the ball doesn't bounce into the end zone. It bounces back towards the field, which is what you want it to do. And he does it over and over and over again.
Adam, I'm just so curious, right? Because I think initially when the Bears selected him in the 4th round, there was a large group of people that were weary about the selection. But clearly there is value there. Why do you feel like other teams didn't place that same value on a guy like Tory Taylor?
Well, I do know from talking to Richard Hightower after the draft that they really did feel like he was going to be coming off the board soon. And Hightower told me, this was like a week or so after the draft, when we had him on our show on CHGO, that, you know, he after the pick, he was immediately getting texts from other special teams coordinators that were angry because they were about to take him. So he was going to go, you know, somewhere in that area, maybe most around later, but somewhere in that area. And, you know, I think when you sort of now are in August and we see this thing coming together and you've seen it in the preseason a little bit, like this is going to be a good defense. You do have a young offense, but between your defense and if you do have a punter that I am officially dubbing the weapon, because everyone's trying to call up a nickname for this guy. Yeah. I'm calling him the weapon. It actually should give Caleb Williams on the offense favorable field position for most of the season.
Adam Hoge from CHGO, one of our favorite guys to talk football with here on The Score. Nice to see you on our Zoom and on our Twitch, et cetera, Adam, with the outstanding looking football set behind you. It's, whew, boy, it's high-end stuff now for the Hoger. It is complimentary football. It feels like they're going to be able to play complimentary football, and we've spent our lives waiting for the savior at quarterback, but he doesn't have to play like the savior. You know, I find myself hoping that he plays it a little safe in terms of putting the ball into harm's way. Granted, he seems to have that skill set where he can, like, make the crazy plays and not throw picks, and that would be amazing, but I would rather see him truly perfect the layups with the quality of football players around him on this roster, Adam. How do you feel about this?
Well, there's really three things that I feel speaks pretty confident that you're going to get that. And one is actually something we heard about today. But the first thing I want to bring up is just that what's sort of been lost in the shuffle with all of us focusing on Caleb is that I do think this is going to be a heavy run team. And I really think they like DeAndre Swift a lot. And you haven't seen him a lot in the preseason because of how much they like him. So I do think once you get to this game against the Titans coming up in 2.5 weeks, you're going to see things that look a little different because they're not going to be so reliant on the pass. Like, they came out the other day and they threw the ball 3 times right away on the first drive. They went 3 and out. Like, that's not going to be what happens against the Titans in a couple weeks. The second is obviously the thing we've been talking about since the spring, and that's the weapons that they have. And they've put a good cast around him. The third thing, though, is something we heard from Tyson Bagent today that I think was somewhat new information for those of us that don't have a copy of the Bears playbook or know really what the rules are within the offense for the quarterback going through the progressions. And Tyson said today that on most plays, there is a baked in yes or no into the play right away. And that's another way of saying, like, a simple answer to whatever coverage they're seeing. There should be a simple yes or no to read right off the bat, where if you get your yes, bam, just hit that. And that should most times speaks be a layup like you're talking about. Now, if you get the no answer, that's where things get a little bit more complicated and you start to go through your progressions. And then we'll have to start to see, you know, as a rookie, how well he does that. But I do think he has the pocket presence and the awareness, which is another thing Tyson brought up today, complimenting Caleb, and Tyson admitting he wished he could add that to his game, that I think will allow Caleb to, as the season goes along, get more and more comfortable with those longer progressions that he'll inevitably have to go through. You know, because as we heard from Tyson State too, with all the weapons they have, they're going to see a lot of zone defense. You're not going to be able to man up the Bears when they are throwing at DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze at you on every single play. You're going to have to play zone, and that makes things harder for a rookie quarterback to decipher those zones, what kind of coverage you're seeing, and you know teams are going to disguise it on them.
So that yes or no, that's not an RPO. You're not talking about a run pass option. Or that you're talking about within the progressions, within the targets, there's a yes or no where you're supposed to go.
Well, that's how I heard it today. And again, you know, not having a copy of the playbook, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of those are RPOs. Like, yeah, that could be part of it too. But we do know, and we've heard it now, you know, Cole Kmet said it on the show I'm doing with him now, the 85 with Cole Kmet. He said it a couple of weeks ago. Caleb doesn't like to run. And then you heard it last night from Caleb himself on Hard Knocks. Caleb doesn't like to run. So this isn't going to be the same offense with Justin Fields, where you almost have to lean on those RPOs and those zone reads and hope he keeps it for some of those first downs. That's not something they're going to have a ton of. So when I hear Tyson talk about that, and then I go off of what I'm seeing too in practices, I hear that yes or no is more of a, okay, I have this coverage. Let's hit this quick slant to DJ Moore, which they tried to do against the Bengals the other day. DJ just didn't win his route well enough. Otherwise, that was a well-thrown ball by Caleb. And those are something, guys, I think we've all been frustrated with the Bears not having that simple third and five slant that Aaron Rodgers used to kill the Bears on over and over again with Davante Adams and all those other wide receivers he had. Hopefully that's something the Bears have now in their arsenal.
Yeah, especially if teams, I know you mentioned they'd be going zone, but if teams are heading man-to-man, that's certainly going to be the issue. You saw Caleb try to execute that slant route to DJ Moore in the last preseason game. And certainly you think that those guys can come up with those catches at the very end. Adam, you know, Williams has displayed great mobility. You talked about him not wanting to run, but, you know, he saw the 13-yard run. He saw the vision on the touchdown scramble. How do you think, I mean, although he doesn't want to, how do you think that his dual threat ability will impact the Bears' offensive strategy this season?
Well, you know, it's a lot like Josh Allen to me in that it's something that is always going to be secondary, not primary. And so when you're a defense having to prep now for the Bears, prep for Caleb Williams, you still have to have all those same rules that we saw defenses have against Justin Fields the last couple of years. Now, you don't have to be quite as heightened aware that they might hit you, you know, with a run, you know, QB run on every single play. But just in terms of, you know, not turning your back and being aware of the fact that Caleb, once he gets outside the pocket, as Ryan Poles mentioned to us on Hogan Johns the other day, like that's where the wow plays are really going to come once he gets outside the pocket. So there's still going to be that same type of emphasis of we got to keep this guy in the pocket. But then that's where I think we all hope here in Chicago that the next level comes from Caleb where, oh, that's fine. I can still beat you from inside the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're starting to hear these little whispers from whether it's teammates or coaches of this level and Poles the other day, quite frankly, that they like what they've seen from Caleb Williams so far when he is in that pocket.
Adam, I love that he doesn't want to run. I love
me too.
I love that every time you see him scramble or buy time in the pocket or slide right or left, he's just looking to throw. Like his hero Aaron Rodgers and like his number two, Matthew Stafford. It's crazy, but like those are the guys that he loves, guys who can run but who choose not to. It's just such a different world. One more on Caleb. How do you feel about the teaching plan? Having lived through the teaching plan for Mitch and the teaching plan for Justin, how do you think the coaches are doing with what they used to call it, Trent Dilfer called it the sequence of exposure, like how you show things to the quarterback to get him ready to go? What are your thoughts on that as far as you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, on the macro, it's just, I laugh at the question a little bit just because it's been so different. I'm not laughing at the question. I'm laughing because it's just been so refreshing from the start. I mean, we're going from the last two quarterbacks who couldn't even be, you know, they're going to start as a third stringer. Okay, what are we doing here? That's ridiculous. And then they don't even get the reps and they're supposed to get these mental reps, and mental reps are great, but they're not physical reps. And then, so when they do get in, they're going up against backups and guys who are all getting cut and cut day. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, whoops, by week three, week four, you guys actually have to go play an NFL defense. Like, it's ridiculous what happened here in the past. And it's so refreshing that not only did they just say from day one, Caleb, you're the starter, they started this process in March.
Yeah.
It is pro day.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being there in LA, and when you start to hear these details about what's going on, because we're obviously there, but we're not in the room with what they're doing with Caleb, and you start to hear what they're doing, you're like, oh, so not only are you guys definitely drafting him, but you're already installing the offense. And so you're giving him a month and a half head start on everyone else on top of it. So as far as the teaching, it starts with that. And then on a day-to-day basis, you know, obviously we're not in the rooms and things like that. We're getting a little bit of a glimpse on Hard Knocks. Like, I love seeing that Flus is having a one-on-one with Caleb, you know, the morning after the Bills game. I'm assuming that's something they're doing on the regular. And honestly, trying to piece the small pieces of that together that we got to see, I didn't get a sense that it was so much Flus trying to coach him up, because he's obviously the head coach defensive guy, as much as he's just wondering what his quarterback was seeing and trying to have him inform the head coach and get that feedback so then they know how to teach him going forward. So, and there's been very little to criticize at all. If anything, if you want to say, hey, maybe he should get some more reps tomorrow night in Kansas City, I could listen to that argument. But I think with what he's shown in the first couple of games, I'm cool with the fact that they've said he's reached his rep limit and, you know, just show up against the Titans in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been cool to watch. And I also enjoyed that moment, because what I loved was Flus's style in handling that. It was still keeping Caleb accountable for whatever he saw in that moment, and still, whether it was the slide, whether, you know, he just, I love that part about him. Adam, when I look at this team, I see a lot of leaders. I see, you know, the Keenan Allens, the Jalen Johnsons, but you have a guy like Caleb Williams who's taking on a prominent role. How do you see leadership dynamics evolving in the locker room over the course of a year when you have your QB1, the rookie, peppered in with, you know, several veterans on this team?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that, you know, it goes back to the quality of, I think, people that Ryan Poles has brought in. Like, there's just not going to be a team full of a lot of drama. And I think that it's also a lot of players like a Keenan Allen, like a DJ Moore, like Cole Kmet, who have been around, seen a lot of different quarterbacks, that not only understand the dynamic of what it's like to have a young quarterback in the room, but also know the difference between this guy's really good compared to some of the other rookie quarterbacks we've been around. And obviously Keenan experienced the, you know, that good side too with Herbert in LA. So I think you have enough guys that, you know, feel like they're leaders that can lead, but also understand exactly how this league works and understand that Caleb Williams is different. I mean, Cole Kmet called him different, and their understanding of the situation. And I think as far as Caleb, the only thing he needs to really worry about, he doesn't necessarily need to worry about taking over this locker room. I mean, that's going to come naturally over time because this is going to be his team. We all know that. But right now it's just about, you know, showing the vets your work ethic, what you're capable of learning, and, you know, just earning that trust from teammates more than anything else. And we've heard nothing but positive things to this point, really from day one. And so I do think he's accomplishing that at this point.
How handsome is Cole Kmet when he's all done up with makeup for your fancy new podcast, The 85? Is it jaw-dropping in person?
Yeah, see, he doesn't even need the makeup. That's the crazy thing, you know? He's just...
You guys.
He's just
how handsome are you? How much makeup are you using when you do it?
I mean, I tend to think I'm somewhat handsome, but sitting next to him on that set, I mean, I just got no chance in that competition.
Right? I mean, no chance. And, like, he's a cover boy on the boat. As the Hard Knocks credits are rolling, it's like, look at that. Hey, Cole, would you sit here in the sun for us as we take the boat up and down the river? It's a good moment for him, though. It's a good moment for him. And it's like, dude, this is a guy, Arlington Heights, right? I mean, this is a guy who's going to be able to write his own ticket as a Bears media guy until he's 70 if he wants to in this town.
Yeah, we feel fortunate to have him, obviously. But I also, you know, if people haven't had a chance to check it out, I've got to just do a quick plug. It's the type of conversation you're not really going to hear. And all the we have a lot of Bears coverage in this town, obviously. But to hear Cole sit down and talk to, you know, Austin Reed for 40 minutes about life as a player. And, you know, you get Cole's side as a guy who's already earned a second contract, and you're Austin Reed's side of it of like, I'm living in a hotel for the last month and a half and have seen basically nothing but football. And, you know, this is the training camp grind. And when it's all said and done, I might not even have a job. But to hear that between two players talk it out is just different access. And I think it's super cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you're mentioning that you got a $5,000 signing bonus in front of millions and millions of people, you know, and then you're trying to have that conversation, a Cole Kmet could pull that out of you a little bit different than somebody else.
But then he killed the Keisha Cole, didn't he?
He killed it. He beyond killed it. I mean, when you get, I saw what he did there. He was like, let me sing something that people are going to know. Uh-huh. And the veterans were waiting. They were waiting. And then once they bought into it and they saw how believable
it was.
They
had his back. It was quite beautiful.
It was actually more than beautiful. It was better than that. Adam, let me ask you this. You did mention that obviously there's a lot of Bears coverage and a lot of that via you. What's your favorite part about it right now in the present? I mean, we've dealt with some pretty down years over the last couple of years, but in the present, what gets you excited when you're covering this Bears team?
Yeah, I mean, I just like training camp in general. Although when we're getting to the end of it, it does feel like a grind a little bit. But I do love the days where a lot, you know, the weather's still nice. You're out there on the practice field. This is the only time of year we get to watch full practices with pads on, because once the season starts, we're not allowed in there. So you can learn a lot. You soak a lot in, and then, you know, I think, just we're all sort of hesitant because of what's happened here in the past, their quarterbacks, right? And you don't want to get too out over our skis. But there has seriously been a couple, at least one or two moments every single day where you just see Caleb do something and you're like, no offense to the other guys, but that's not Justin. That's not Mitch Trubisky. Like, it's this, it's a different level. And then to feel that excitement from the fans out there when these practices have been open to the fans. I mean, it is a really cool time of year. And now, unfortunately, we go into this 2 week bye period where nothing. It's just grueling. Like, can we get like a real football game here soon? Like, this is like, now the next 2 weeks are like the worst 2 weeks of the year. I feel like this is, give me a game, please.
No, this is when the Cubs make their run. This is right here.
Uh-oh.
They jump into the zeitgeist at this point. Or maybe your White Sox make a push. Yeah.
Do we still a push for what? Do we still have two teams in this town?
Grady,
for
Grady Sizemore to, you know, maybe lay claim to a job or something. You know?
Oh man, I'm sorry for you and your family on that one. Adam, thank you, man. Love talking to you. Happy for your success. We'll talk soon. You know that.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You got
good
it.
Talking to you.
You got it. It's Adam Hoge from CHGO. I want to ask you, Gabe.
Yes.
If my head is out over my skis when I find myself thinking right now about 1983, 1965, maybe 2003 in regards to these Bears, I want to ask you how crazy that thought process is. Okay?
I like this.
All right. And then later on this hour, you have something in your house that I want.
Me?
Yeah. So I gotta go after you about that as well. Okay. It's Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score.
With the 122nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, our Chicago Bears select Torrey Taylor, punter, Iowa.
Conor McGregor is the answer you're looking for, Spiegs.
Who announced the Torrey Taylor draft pick? Was it somebody Australian to tie in the Australian connection? Do they have an Australian backstage at the draft in Detroit?
It was actually a Bears super fan from Great Britain, not Australia.
Oh, okay. Okay. But still, so I mean, it got us close.
It would have been very fitting if they had a Bears Australian super fan to announce Torrey Taylor.
We'll take British.
Yeah.
That's close enough.
Close enough, right?
Yeah, that's close
James
enough.
James Gower, Bears International Fan of the Year.
There you go.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
How do you win that?
I don't know, but there's going to be a lot of people going for it this year.
Got to be international, Robbie. You wouldn't know about it, bro.
That's right.
Just from Detroit.
You're not eligible. It's Robbie Triano and Tyler Ferengul as producers this week. Shane and Tanny are both on vacation. Shane is in Greece. Tanny is in Michigan. My money's on Tanny getting back easier than Shane. But they'll both be back.
How does it feel? Like, this is like a personal question, like a friend question. You know, it's like Shane and Tanny are gone. Danny's gone, and then you're still here this week.
Oh yeah, you just made it real. It's weird, man.
I was gonna say, because I've been in radio a long time, and I've been in situations like this before, where I'm like, wait, what the hell? Why am I here?
It's odd. Yes,
I asked
Gabe.
Friend question.
The mob is here. I think you know.
They're always
the
here.
Listeners. Thank you for being here, listeners.
That's what you do it for. I know.
It's weird, man. Yeah, but no, but it's weird. It's kind of it's a lone wolf thing. I'm texting with Danny a little bit. The details on his new show are leaking out. He's got rehearsals going on this week. You know,
so he's not listening on the Odyssey app to your shows this week.
He never
to the Score afternoons.
He never listens when I'm on. He never listened to Hit and Run. We know this for sure. Till it became a bit. I'm sure, you know, he should not be listening.
Yeah,
would you? You know?
I would. I'm a sick individual. I'd want to know what was going on after I left.
Oh, hell no.
How bad is this going to be when I'm gone?
First of all, you get
crap talked. Gabe Ramirez on a Wednesday? Oh, this is great. They're going to miss me.
You get crap talked when you're not here. It's just the way it works.
Okay, you're right.
You know? But when you leave for good, you know? I mean, it's bound to happen that somebody's going to not remember his name. What was his name again? I forget.
Penny Darkins.
It's tricky.
Tip of my tongue.
No, but man, I'm good. I'm a happy boy. Thank you for asking.
It's your last show for the week, so that's good.
It's true. I'm off tomorrow and Friday. I will be back for Hit and Run on Sunday morning. I'll be back next week as well. And for anybody who does not know, we are hoping to have a new show announced soon. Management is working on all of that. I am working with them on all of that.
Good.
very excited for the possibilities, and we'll see what happens.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Scoreheads deserve it, so that's a good thing.
Hey, dude, I agree. This listenership deserves a killer show to be in place soon and hit the ground running for what should be an awesome Bears season.
Oh.
And your Cubs making their magical push
as
in
they
September.
Should. As they should. 3% chance to make the playoffs. So you're telling me there's a chance.
It's good enough for Gabe. So
usually it's good enough for Spiegel.
It isn't. No, they broke me, dude. They broke me after the All-Star break when they played like ass against the Diamondbacks in those first two games. I'm like, really? This is what happens? I got completely broken. The hope that often lives within me, the optimism that lives within me, has been shattered by this taunting penalty of a Cubs season.
But I feel like they've fixed the lineup with an addition by subtraction by moving Morel. So now you're able to put guys in places where you actually want them. You get a five guy or five or six, wherever you have them in the lineup, and Isak Paredes to kind of just give some oomph to the middle of the lineup. You get Dansby at the tail end of that.
Yeah.
You got gold with PCA and Amaya in the event that you're hoping for them to turn over the lineup. This looks good to me.
I think it's adorable. I think it's adorable.
Telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And the
I'm trying to bring Speaks in here.
But Gabe, I wanted to ask you about this.
Yes, sorry.
And I asked the listeners and the mob, and thank you. It's nice to see Peoria Matt getting in here and others from the mob reminding me that that we are all here. It's good to see you. Nice to be seen. Here's my question. How this draft with Torrey Taylor in round four, with Austin Booker in round five, and obviously Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, how high on the list of all-time Bears drafts does this have a chance to get? Okay, and think about it. Pause.
Can we put in a Montez Sweat in there?
Because of
draft picks and the trades.
Now that's sneaky.
I mean, that would then justify
that
the ability to put them in.
That's sneaky because Montez went with a second,
yeah,
in this draft.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's.
I'm in. I say we do it.
Dude, if you're putting that in there, then how high can we go? Like, number seven on my list, my personal list of all-time Bears drafts, is Brian Urlacher and Mike Brown in the same draft in the year 2000.
Yes.
That's a pretty damn good draft. Now, it stops there. There's really nobody else of consequence in that one. But those two players, that's pretty damn good. That's a Hall of Famer. And still the icon of Bears safety play that in this defense you continue to look for, frankly.
Okay.
So
who was in the draft with Mark Carrier when he won, when he split Rookie of the Year with Emmitt Smith? That's a good one. I'll look it up while you continue.
All right, thank you.
I got
thank you. So because what we're talking about this year, to be clear, I mean, it might be if it's Caleb and Caleb ends up being, you know, the greatest quarterback in Bears history, this one might get pretty damn towards the top. It's probably going to get above Urlacher and Mike Brown. How about 2003? That's
got to be up there.
Rex Grossman and Michael Haynes as your two first rounders. But then, by the way, Peanut Tillman in the second round and Lance Briggs in the third. That's pretty damn good.
I mean, you're talking about two iconic Chicago Bears players being drafted and not in the first round.
Neither Hall of Famer, though.
In my heart.
Peanut, you can make a case
first
for Peanut.
Ballot.
You can make a case for first ballot.
I mean,
Hall of Famer in Gabe's heart.
You changed how cornerbacks play the game when they name, you know, a tool after you, the peanut punch.
Yes.
Right? I think that has to be there.
Mm-hmm. Did you find your Mark Carrier draft, by the way?
No, I didn't. I was too busy telling you about Peanut. Mark Carrier draft. I got it.
Okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I got it.
Yeah.
You keep talking.
Okay, good. Texture says, you know, getting Jalen Johnson in the second round and Cole Kmet in that second round in 2020 is pretty good. Yeah, it is pretty good. It's pretty good, but it doesn't make my top seven.
No.
So I gave you Urlacher and Mike Brown at seven. At six, Peanut and Lance Briggs. How about 1981? Mike Singletary at number 38 overall. Keith Van Horn in that draft as well. I might put Peanut and Briggs above that.
Yeah, that's got to go higher than that. Mark Carrier, Fred Washington. No idea who both of these players are. Fred Washington was drafted in the second round, and then Barry Foster was their running back that they drafted in the fifth. Those are the notable names.
Yeah, no. No. Yeah. So thank you for coming to the party with Mark Carrier.
I mean, I figured if a guy won a rookie award, that might be warranted a top seven, but no, apparently it didn't.
1975 is Walter Payton with the fourth overall pick. I mean, that on its own.
Yeah.
That just all by itself is pretty damn good. Doug Plank, though, and Roland Harper also in that draft. That's obviously a top five draft in Bears history. And then there's the two OGs in all-time Bears draft history.
Wait. You know 98 in there?
Tell me about 98.
Olin Krutz.
It's pretty damn good.
Curtis Enos.
That's a debacle, an absolute disaster that Dave Wannstedt has shared the story of, the hoodwinking that went on with Olin Krutz and Joe Paterno lying to everybody that Curtis Enos was a good guy.
Fifth pick overall, we thought he was going to be...
absolute trash. Tony Parrish and his one ball... Our guy, Pat Manley, in the sixth round.
That's
pretty good.
That's got to be at least number seven, just for Krutz and Manley.
And Moses Moreno.
Yeah.
No. Olin and Pat in 98.
7A.
You can give them some love.
Okay.
1965.
Oh, geez.
You ready for 1965?
I don't know if I am, but yeah.
You need to be. They had two picks in the top four. They took Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers in the same draft. Can Caleb do anything to get above Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers
in this draft class?
I don't think number two is achievable in this one.
Yeah, Romo Dunze would need to be a top five wide receiver if that were the case, like in order for them to leapfrog that.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe like Torrey Taylor goes to the Hall of Fame. And Austin Booker becomes a starting defensive end.
Well, see, this is what we're thinking. What if Austin Booker is a dude who gets a second contract as a defensive end, and you got him in the fifth round because you had the odyssey, to trade up for him, you know? What if Torrey Taylor's your punter for a decade because you had the audacity, I did it again, to draft a punter in the fourth round, and then, oh, by the way, Caleb and Rome. I mean, this draft is sizing up to be possibly amazing.
And what if Olufoshanu ends up being... No, I'm just joking.
How about Kieran Amagaje, though?
That's what I was saying,
yeah.
Kieran.
Yeah.
Yale guy.
We haven't even talked about Kieran Amagaje. I haven't even talked about it because we don't know anything yet, so it's possible. But even just Caleb and Rome and the punter and Booker. So 1965... I mean, is it the second best or is it the best with Butkus and Sayers? Here's 1983. Jimbo Covert, Willie Gault, Mike Richardson, Dave Duerson, Tom Thayer, Mark Bortz, and oh, by the way, Richard Dent at the bottom of that draft.
Yeah, at the bottom.
That is freaking bananas. That is one of the great draft classes in the history of the NFL. It's up there. There's a Niners one that has like Jerry Rice and Tom Rathman in the same draft. There's a Steelers one that has like Mel Blunt and I think Franco Harris and maybe Lynn Swann all in the same draft. Like there's some legendary draft classes in the history of the sport. But that 1983 Bears draft is right there.
All right, so if Caleb wins, I mean, again, talking about getting over in front of our skis or whatever.
Sure.
But let's just say Caleb, you know, brings the trophy home.
Super Bowl.
I didn't want to say the word.
Greatest Bears quarterback of all time. What if he becomes that? Can this draft get top two? Can it beat the 83 draft? Can it beat the 65 draft?
They'd have to win a Super Bowl because he can't be like Josh Allen. No, really good and getting us to the, you know, NFC Championship game or something and losing.
What has to happen for this draft to become in the top two all time in Bears history?
Yeah, Super Bowl for sure.
One?
Yes.
One's enough?
How many do we have in the last 40 years?
Caleb to the Hall of Fame. I think
for sure.
It's just going to take a little while, you know.
How many games do you have the Bears winning? Has that changed over the last couple of preseason games?
I'm at an over on 9.5. So if 8.5 is the number, I got them winning 10 games. I got them winning 10 and making the playoffs. And anything less than that, I will be disappointed from the team perspective.
Is that fan Matt Spiegel fan speaking or is the analyst speaking?
It's fanalist. It's the fanalist, right?
I'm 1,000% stealing that.
I did. You should.
Oh my god!
It's available.
Like it is my personality on the radio. On TV.
I know it is.
I'm a fanalist.
Yeah, you even more.
Okay.
All right. So I don't think they can get top two without at least one Super Bowl and Caleb to the Hall of Fame. But it's on the table, folks. It is on the table. There is something in Gabe's house that I think I might want. We talk about that next. A Bears report from our guy Mark Grody at the top of the hour on The Score.
We're back with more of The Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so Gabe.
Yeah, what is this, man?
I asked before the show if any one of us has YouTube TV.
Ah, I thought you wanted the sazón in my house for some like better flavoring with the chicken or something.
That is
like that.
Delicious. Gotcha. I've used that.
Okay.
Yeah, brother-in-law is Puerto Rican.
I like it. I know you're hip with the game out
here.
Hey,
man, a sister-in-law is Mexican. Brother-in-law is Puerto Rican. That house, some culinary delights.
Flavor Town.
Oh, it is Flavor Town.
All right, so YouTube TV, though.
Yeah, you enjoy?
Honestly, I love YouTube TV. I got to shout out my guy, Steve Hardy. He used to be an account executive at B96. And one day he was like, hey, I got these extra. Because with YouTube TV, you have multiple accounts that you can give out. And so unlike Netflix or something like that. So with YouTube TV, he was like, hey, man, you want to take one of my accounts? And then like, just shoot me some money every now and then. And I was like, cool. So he works somewhere else now. And I still got my YouTube TV thing going.
You shouted him out by name.
Hope that remains. We text all the time.
Okay, good.
He's a good friend.
Okay, good. Well, there are multiple new features for their second year as the NFL Sunday Ticket provider. Okay. You're going to be able to build custom 2, 3, or 4 game multi-view panels, which apparently was tested last year. Have you done this before?
Yes.
You could choose any 3 or 4 games and just put them right up there and you choose your own 4 box on your television.
Yeah. It happened a lot with the Olympics. It happened with baseball. It'll happen with college football. It'll happen a lot
okay.
where they'll allow you to pick your games and put them into the boxes for you.
Uh-huh.
It's cool. It's cumbersome.
It is. It's a little cumbersome. Yeah, maybe it'll be better in year two.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is that YouTube learns you. So it basically says YouTube TV learns you. So when you turn it on, it shows you suggested shows. And for you or for myself that use it only for sports, it shows like the suggested channel is the 4box channel that it'll have there for you already.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
So they're updating their video player, so you're supposedly going to be able to toggle between stats and scores and highlights from other games in a side-by-side window. That sounds pretty good. As an interface, but you can do that. You can do that with my Xfinity.
Xfinity.
Yeah, you do that with my Xfinity on the sports app and stuff. But this is the one that got me. Or that might get me. I don't know. Fantasy View. NFL Fantasy and Yahoo Fantasy users will be able to link their teams to their YouTube TV account, enabling the service to offer key plays or multi-view options personalized to each viewer's fantasy football roster. What?
I mean, why else did I buy the Sunday NFL ticket?
What? Why do I sit there watching Red Zone, which I love? Me and my guy Scott Hansen, we hang out for like 4 hours after the Bears game. It's just, you know, we have a very close relationship. I just hang out there scrolling and watching highlights, waiting for my fantasy guys to do something so I can be updated. You're telling me with this, I can link the team and it'll like automatically do the multi-view for the games that matter to me?
Like when you're in the Red Zone of that particular game,
bang,
they
bang,
shoot
boom.
You over there?
I don't know.
You do know that it's an add-on, right?
What, that?
NFL Sunday Ticket.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want you to think,
well,
like, hey, Gabe, you got YouTube TV, and Sunday.
Of course, it's an add-on.
NFL Sunday Ticket.
But Gabe, do you know that a $5 bet on FanDuel gets you a three-week trial of such things? Did you know that?
I did not. Thanks for telling me.
Pay attention.
I know. What are the specifics of that again?
I'll give it to you. I'm sure I'll give that to you.
So
at some
something
point.
About NFL Sunday Ticket. Yeah. And then FanDuel betting $5 to get
some about that
to be able to pay for Sunday NFL Sunday Ticket.
That's not this moment. You can listen to the spots. You can catch it all. But I can't be the only one smitten by this idea here.
No, the future is here. The future is amazing too. If we can get this to happen, I love technology.
But what do you think it's going to do? Like, do you think I'm trying to think of somebody else. You have Justin Jefferson, and then all of a sudden you're watching, I don't know. You're watching the Bengals, and then the game changes on you.
They're gonna. It's key plays or multi view options personalized to each viewer's roster. Okay. That sounds like they've got some kinks to work out. But it sounds like, to me, it sounds like Justin Jefferson in the red zone might come up just automatically in the top corner of my interface.
I can tell. I know what they're doing now because I've seen this before. So when I watch, let's say if I'm watching a White Sox game, okay, because you can record and they have unlimited DVR, right? So if I'm recording the White Sox game, but it's an hour into the match.
Editor's note. Why are you recording the White Sox game?
I am a sick individual.
Okay.
So I'm going back, and I love Schifrin's calls. So I'm going back to the thing, and I'm watching it. And when you hit go, it'll tell you, do you want to catch up via key plays? Or do you want to go to the beginning of the broadcast? Uh-huh. So I'm assuming the NFL Sunday Ticket will be something along the lines of, do you want to see what your fantasy players did? Like a button. That you click,
so you can press,
and then it shows you like the highlights that are going to be there.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
that also sounds good.
Yeah. But I know what you want. You want like, breaking news: Justin Jefferson's in the red zone. He's about to catch a touchdown.
I want Scott Hansen on the recliner next to me on the couch, lovingly carrying me from moment to moment of consequence for my entire fantasy football roster.
He is very good at what he does.
That's what I want, and I don't think that it's too much to ask. Let's go, science.
How many fantasy football leagues are you in?
Historically, it's been three.
That's a good number.
Three is a maximum. I can't do more than three, but there's different friend circles. The wife doesn't understand this. There are different friend circles. One is the college pals.
Gotta be in that.
One is the media pals. And that one I do, that's the Guillotine League with Paul Charchian, because the Guillotine League is freaking awesome. If you haven't done it, do one this year.
What, last person gets cut off?
Whoever finishes last that week is gone. Their entire team becomes a free agent.
Out of the league?
Out of the league. So by the end of the year, the rosters are outrageous.
And there's only two teams left?
There's only two teams left at the end of the year. So like it's an incredible, and there's like a salary cap or like a bidding system.
Okay.
And there's a brand new app for it. I'm telling you, guillotineleagues.com. It is awesome.
I wanted the Guillotine League to be where, because it's media, so it's probably a highly coveted league, like where the last place person, gets relegated. And then, Chris Emma's waiting on the wings and he wants to get in.
Good.
And he's the next guy that gets in there. Shout out Chris Emma.
Shout out. It's the man. But I'm telling you, between Guillotine Leagues and your YouTube interface at your house, I'm coming over. It's going to be some fun on
Hansen,
Sundays.
Little Hansen waiting for you over there. It's going to be good. Can't wait. Couple weeks away.
Just use the sazon. Use the sazon on everything, and we're going to be good. Mark Grody with the Bears Report next. It's Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so Gabe,
what is this, man?
I asked before the show if any one of us has YouTube TV.
Ah, I thought you wanted the sazón in my house for some like better flavoring with the chicken or
that
something.
That is
like that.
Delicious. Gotcha. I've used that.
Okay.
Yeah, brother-in-law is Puerto Rican.
I like it. I know you're hip with the game out
hey,
here.
Hey, man, sister-in-law is Mexican. Brother-in-law is Puerto Rican. That house, some culinary delights.
Flavortown.
Oh, it is Flavortown.
All right, so YouTube TV, though.
Yeah, you enjoy?
Honestly, I love YouTube TV. I got to shout out my guy, Steve Hardy. He used to be an account executive at B96. And one day he was like, hey, I got these extra. Because with YouTube TV, you have multiple accounts that you can give out. And so unlike Netflix or something like that. So with YouTube TV, he was like, hey, man, you want to take one of my accounts? And then like, just shoot me some money every now and then. And I was like, cool. So he works somewhere else now. And I still got my YouTube TV thing going.
She shouted him out by name.
Steve Hardy.
Hope that remains.
We text all the time.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
Okay, good. Well, there are multiple new features for their second year as the NFL Sunday Ticket provider. Okay. You're going to be able to build custom 2, 3, or 4 game multi-view panels, which apparently was tested last year. Have you done this before?
Yes.
You could choose any 3 or 4 games and just put them right up there, and you choose your own 4 box on your television.
Yeah, it happened a lot with the Olympics. It happened with baseball. It'll happen with college football. It'll happen a lot.
Okay.
Where they'll allow you to pick your games and put them into the boxes for you.
Uh-huh.
It's cool. It's cumbersome.
It is. It's a little cumbersome. Yeah, maybe it'll be better in year 2.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is that YouTube learns you. So it basically says YouTube TV learns you. So when you turn it on, it shows you suggested shows. And for you or for myself that use it only for sports, it shows like the suggested channel is the 4 box channel that it'll have there for you already.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
So they're updating their video player. So you're supposedly going to be able to toggle between stats and scores and highlights from other games in a side-by-side window. That sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
As an interface. But you can do that. You can do that with my Xfinity.
Xfinity.
Yeah, you do that with my Xfinity on the sports app and stuff. But this is the one that got me. It might get me. I don't know. Fantasy View. NFL Fantasy and Yahoo Fantasy users will be able to link their teams to their YouTube TV account, enabling the service to offer key plays or multi-view options personalized to each viewer's fantasy football roster. What?
I mean, why else did I buy the Sunday NFL ticket?
What? Why do I sit there watching Red Zone, which I love? Me and my guy Scott Hansen, we hang out for like 4 hours after the Bears game. It's just, you know, we have a very close relationship. I just hang out there scrolling and watching highlights, waiting for my fantasy guys to do something so I can be updated. You're telling me with this, I can link the team and it'll like automatically do the multi-view for the games that matter to me?
Like when you're in the Red Zone of that particular game,
bang,
they shoot
boom.
You over there?
I don't know.
You do know that it's an add-on, right?
What, that?
NFL Sunday Ticket.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want you to think,
well,
like, hey, Gabe, you got YouTube TV and Sunday.
Of course it's an add-on.
NFL Sunday
Ticket. But, Gabe, do you know that a $5 bet on FanDuel gets you a three-week trial of such things? Did you know that?
I did not. Thanks for telling me.
Pay attention.
I know. What are the specifics of that again?
I'll give it to you. I'm sure I'll give that to you
so
at some
something
point.
About NFL Sunday Ticket, and then FanDuel betting $5 to get
something about that
to be able to pay for Sunday NFL
Look,
Sunday Ticket.
That's not this moment. Though. You can listen to the spots. You can catch it all. But I can't be the only one smitten by this idea here.
No, the future is here. The future is amazing too. If we can get this to happen, I love technology.
But what do you think it's going to do? Like, do you think you have? I'm trying to think of somebody else. You have Justin Jefferson, and then all of a sudden you're watching, you know. I don't know. You're watching the Bengals, and then the game changes on you.
It's key plays or multi-view options personalized to each viewer's roster.
Okay.
That sounds like they've got some kinks to work out. But it sounds like, to me, it sounds like Justin Jefferson in the red zone might come up just automatically in the top corner of my interface.
I can tell. I know what they're doing now because I've seen this before. So when I watch, let's say if I'm watching a White Sox game, okay, because you can record and they have unlimited DVR, right? So if I'm recording the White Sox game, but it's an hour into the match,
editor's note. Why are you recording the White Sox game?
I am a sick individual.
Okay.
So I'm going back, and I love Schifrin's calls. So I'm going back to the thing, and I'm watching it. And I'm watching it. And when you hit go, it'll tell you, do you want to catch up via key plays? Or do you want to go to the beginning of the broadcast?
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming the NFL Sunday Ticket will be something along the lines of, do you want to see what your fantasy players did? Like a button that you click.
So you can press
and then
it.
It shows you like the highlights that are going to be there.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That also sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. But I know what you want. You want like, breaking news. Justin Jefferson's in the red zone. He's about to catch a touchdown.
I want Scott Hansen on the recliner next to me on the couch.
Yeah.
Lovingly carrying me from moment to moment of consequence for my entire fantasy football roster.
He is very good at what he does.
That's what I want. And I don't think that it's too much to ask. Let's go, science.
How many fantasy football leagues are you in?
Historically, it's been three.
That's a good number.
Three is a maximum. I can't do more than three. But there's different friend circles. The wife doesn't understand this. There are different friend circles. One is the college pals.
Got to be in that.
One is the media pals. And that one I do. That's the Guillotine League with Paul Charchian, because the Guillotine League is freaking awesome. If you haven't done it, do one this year.
What, last person gets cut off?
Whoever finishes last that week is gone. Their entire team becomes a free agent.
Out of the league?
Out of the league. So by the end of the year, the rosters are outrageous.
And there's only two teams left?
There's only two teams left. At the end of the year. So it's an incredible, and there's like a salary cap or like a bidding system.
Okay.
And there's a brand new app for it. I'm telling you, guillotineleagues.com. It is awesome.
I wanted the Guillotine League to be where, because it's media, so it's probably a highly coveted league, like where the last place person, you know, gets relegated. And then, you know, Chris Emma's waiting on the wings and he wants to get in.
Good.
And he's the next guy that gets in there. Shout out Chris Emma.
Shout out. It's the man. But I'm telling you, between Guillotine Leagues and your YouTube interface at your house, I'm coming over. It's going to be some fun
Lil
on
Hanson,
Sundays.
Lil Hanson waiting for you over there. It's going to be good. Can't wait. Couple weeks away.
Just use the sazon. Use the sazon on everything, and we're going to be good. Mark Grody with the Bears Report next. It's Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.